This is The Space Show.
88.3 Southern FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
ESPER Satellite Imagery is based in Notting Hill, close to Monash University. We had its Chief Executive Officer, Shoaib Iqbal, on The Space Show on 2022, June the 8th, when he described his startup company and his plans for ESPER. On our March 20 program this year, we reported that ESPER's Over the Rainbow hyperspectral imager was aboard the Australian-built Optimus satellite that was launched on March the 5th. Unfortunately, that satellite was never heard from after its deployment from its SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. Most of the companies that had payloads aboard Optimus have made no public statement about the failure. On Thursday, May the 30th, ESPER released a statement. Reading between the lines, it is basically saying, "We're not happy." Here is ESPER's release, which we have modified only slightly to make it radio-friendly. For example, where the release says OTR, we have replaced it with Over the Rainbow, which is what OTR stands for. Now, ESPER's release is headlined, and I quote, "ESPER reaffirms commitment to Earth observation despite initial setback with OTR-1.
ESPER today addresses the unfortunate circumstances surrounding its first hyperspectral payload, Over the Rainbow 1. Launched last March aboard Space Machines Optimus satellite, Over the Rainbow 1 marked a significant milestone as Australia's first commercial Earth observation mission in orbit. However, in the weeks following the launch, ESPER received disheartening news that the satellite was lost due to unforeseen technical difficulties. Space Machines, despite their best efforts, failed to establish communication with the satellite. Despite this setback, ESPER remains steadfast in its mission to provide affordable cutting-edge Earth observation data. While the loss of Over the Rainbow 1 is undoubtedly a mishap, it has also been a valuable learning experience," said Shoaib Iqbal, Chief Executive Officer of ESPER. "We have identified key areas for improvement and are already implementing changes to ensure greater success in future missions. ESPER's experience with Over the Rainbow 1 has underscored the importance of robust satellite tracking and communication systems. Moving forward, ESPER is taking proactive measures to mitigate similar risks. These include stringent vetting processes for satellite providers and enhanced pre-launch testing protocols. ESPER is now focused on the upcoming launch of its second satellite, Over the Rainbow 2, scheduled for late 2024. This mission will be carried out in collaboration with the Indian Space Research Organisation, leveraging their experience and proven track record in satellite deployment and management. Our partnership with the Indian Space Research Organisation represents a significant step forward," Iqbal added. "We are confident that Over the Rainbow 2 will successfully build on the groundwork laid by Over the Rainbow 1. In the interim, ESPER has started to serve its clients using data with its new initiative, Over the Rainbow Nexus. Over the Rainbow Nexus is currently leveraging industry partners to provide valuable Earth observation data to clients. This collaborative approach ensures a steady stream of valuable Earth observation data, even as the company prepares for its next major launch. The Over the Rainbow Nexus mission project plays a strategic role within the broader Over the Rainbow campaign, bridging the gap between the initial setback with Over the Rainbow 1 and the anticipated success of Over the Rainbow 2. ESPER's commitment to advancing Earth observation technology remains unwavering. Setbacks are an inevitable part of pioneering new frontiers," concluded Iqbal. "What matters is how we respond and learn from them. With the development of Over the Rainbow Nexus and the upcoming launch of Over the Rainbow 2, we are more determined than ever to deliver on our promises and contribute to a better understanding of our planet. Additionally, ESPER is continuously developing its data and analytics platform, Earth Tones. This innovative platform aims to provide clients with unparalleled access to Earth observation data, enabling them to make informed decisions based on real-time insights. It offers a highly customizable data acquisition experience, allowing users to choose their desired area and output based on their specific requirements. ESPR views this drawback as a springboard for continuous improvement. This growth mindset positions the company for a trajectory of continued success. With the upcoming launch of Over the Rainbow 2, the strategic Over the Rainbow Nexus initiative providing a data bridge, and the development of the Earth Tones platform empowering informed decision-making, ESPR remains firmly on track to deliver on its promises and make significant contributions to saving the planet through data.
If you were listening to the Space Show on May the 8th, you would have heard our coverage of the high-impulse SR-75 paraffin-fueled rocket from the Kinuba in South Australia. Well, 2 days ago, Southern Launch, which operates the Kinuba range, released a documentary feature about the German rocket. But, oh dear, they begin with a glaring mistake. Take a listen.
This is the first time a high-powered rocket will ever be launched from Australia. So this is a brand new type of rocket, and this will also be the first time that a hybrid rocket has ever launched from Australia. Hybrid rockets are very safe, and they are hopefully going to be used for future space launch vehicles.
No. The SR-75 was not the first high-powered rocket launched in Australia. That honour went to the Blue Streak Europa F1 launch from Woomera 60 years ago today. Ian Ritchie describes the launch of that first Blue Streak, which happened in 1964, June the 5th.
Out on the launch area, you're a couple of kilometres away from it, you're not outside watching it, sort of standing around watching it. You're locked in a control room anyway. I mean, we knew exactly what was happening just by following the countdown. You have a time counting down on the control panels, and you can watch it counting down, and there's some overall sequence officer on the centre of the range who reads out the relevant points, like, you know, minus 5 minutes, minus 3 minutes, and then more intervals as you get close. But it's relatively quiet when you're getting down to the final minute or so, you know, a minor 5 minutes, really. But you're sort of holding your breath, hoping everything's going to go to plan, because there's various points on the countdown where it would automatically stop if something went wrong. But when it gets down to zero, the whole place is shaking, and you can hear the roar in the distance, yeah. When it had gone, you could go outside and you see the contrail of it sort of heading off uprange. Yeah, there wasn't a lot to see from ground level where we were. But the first one, it was, you probably didn't know what to expect. You know, you sort of, first time you'd thrown it into the sky, so you were on tenterhooks in some respects. Although you couldn't do anything about it once it's left the launch pad and it's on its way. You know, we've done our bit and you just have to wait, see how long it runs for. I think it was the first one run for 136 seconds. So it didn't run the full time that they wanted it to run because they had some problem with the fuel sloshing about in the tanks. And it was going to go out of control with the weight sort of swinging around inside it. So they cut the engines at 136 seconds. But they found everything they needed to know in that time, apart from the sloshing of the fuel, which they fixed later anyway. You sort of thought you were at the forefront of everything there, you know, because it was very successful. We didn't really have any failures with the Blue Streak part of it.
And Bob Brown recalls the launch of the Blue Streak rocket on June the 5th, 1964. He was a school pupil at the time.
There's a great deal of excitement around the town because the Blue Streak was about to be launched from a launch pad that was adjacent to the township. And the people that were running the program actually developed a viewing area for townspeople to go along. And I can recall sitting with my family and hundreds of other families in the viewing area looking across the desert to the west of us where you can see the Blue Streak rocket sitting on its launch pad. It was all very exciting. People were looking at it through binoculars and through telescopes, and there was a picnic atmosphere. And there was quite a bit of build-up to it. There was commentary coming across a public address system set up in the car park. And as it drew towards launch time, they commenced the count. It went something like this, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, stop, 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 and nothing happened. So you can imagine the disappointment. We waited for a while, and then some commentary came across the PA system that there was some kind of technical fault. Anyway, everybody in the viewing area, very disappointed, packed up and went home. And it was several days later in the school ground of the Woomera Primary and High School that we were playing football out in the football oval. I think it was at lunchtime. And we heard this huge boom sound and a distinct crackling sound and looked up into the western sky. And we saw the blue streak streaking, as it were, towards the northwest in a clear blue sky. The boom was obviously as it was breaking the sound barrier. And the crackling was the very distinct noise of the jet engines, although it was some 20 kilometres away. It was a very powerful sound, and we watched the flame from the back of the rocket and the trail that created as it disappeared over the horizon.
To set the record straight, the SR-75, the paraffin rocket, is the first commercial high-energy rocket launched from Australia. The previous rockets, you could argue that the RTV-1 launched in 1949, December the 11th, was a high-powered rocket, although it was an anti-aircraft missile. And the Blue Streaks, of course, and the Europa 1, first launched 60 years ago today, as we've just noted, they were not commercial rockets. Anyway, this has been The Space Show. I'm Andrew Rennie. The Space Association of Australia presents The Space Show for Southern FM.